welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. This is our 10th episode. So yeah, we have Harley Wang here today.
Hello.
And we have John Giorgio here as well.
Yo.
So yeah, it's the week of October 22nd, I think. Yeah, 23rd, actually. Yeah, it's been a semi-busy week for us. Anyways, it's about crunch time for us anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll get started on our first little thing. What have you guys been playing recently? John?
Me? A little bit of Castlevania. I got back into Pokemon and Spider-Man recently. I don't know why, but that's just what happened.
How about you, Harley, man?
I've been getting back to playing some League of Legends, just a couple of matches, but other than that, I haven't really been playing too much.
I haven't been playing too much recently. I've been getting busy with midterms and school, so I've been doing a bit of Pokemon Heart Gold. So there is a new mystery gift for Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver if you haven't got that.
Up until the 30th.
Yeah, so if you haven't done so, you might as well get it pretty soon.
Yeah. This is probably going to be your last legal chance to get a Mew, so
well,
take advantage.
Yeah. You can learn basically any TM or HM that's out there, which is great.
Yeah, it could become an HM slave if you want.
Yeah. I guess we'll get into our first story, which is the PS one for the PS3, which is Gran Turismo 5 is delayed yet again from November. For its November release, it's probably, they say it's going to be out in time for the Christmas season, which is, they're probably pushing it back a couple weeks, and again, it's probably polishing off whatever it is, as usual, with all other games.
Polishing, or just, this has been happening too many. Too much recently with too many games, I don't know.
It's Gran Turismo, the whole series has always been pretty much the gold standard of driving games. And with Gran Turismo 5, it's been, I mean, we've been waiting for it for so long that they released a prologue version before, and it was like how many years ago? So it's been in development for a long time. So I think waiting for a little bit longer is, I think it was to be expected. Anyways, regardless, I think this is going to be the best driving game when it comes out.
Yeah. From the trailers I've seen as well, it looks like pretty slick, but it's like there's only so much some people will wait for it.
Yeah, you know, I think another thing you should note is that it might not, like, I mean, the fun factor is one thing, but, like, for realistic, it's like a driving simulator is really what it is. I mean, you might have more fun playing, like, Mod Nation or, you know, Need for Speed even, but if you're looking for, like, realism and, like graphics and everything, I mean, Gran Turismo 5 looks really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll move on to our next topic, which is Bomberman is heading over to 3DS when it comes out next year, like early next year, which is another great title for the 3DS to latch on to, so.
Why not? Good series. Make money. What
yeah.
more is it to that?
Plus it's a pretty big title that's been around for who knows how long that most, if not all of us, have either heard of it or played it sometime, either with a DS or on whatever platform you choose that it was on.
Yeah, Bomberman's been, you know, around for a long time, and I think with any Bomberman game, if you remember, it's been a while since, you know, I think a big release has come out, but they always have mini games, and like I think it'll work really well with the 3D elements. It'll be really fun, and I think it's something that 3D can be implemented into really well.
Yep.
Yeah. Guess our next story that's pretty significant is there is a crossover for Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney and Professor Layton heading to 3DS, which is two of the biggest franchises out there for the current DS model for puzzles, at least. And I think this is a major step forward for more crossovers out of like the fighting franchises, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Have you guys played Phoenix Wright or Professor Layton? Any of them?
I haven't touched those two franchises yet, but I've been meaning to get to Professor Layton for the past like year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I've played Professor Layton a lot, and I played the first Phoenix Wright, and they're pretty I think they're pretty interesting. They're pretty good games. I mean, how they work over in a how they would work in a crossover, but regardless of what happens, I think the characters are very likable, and I think I don't know. I really like Professor Layton. I think it's a really fun game. And be interesting to see what they do. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do with 3D and everything. So,
yeah, like puzzles flying out at you in 3D imagery,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I have no idea, but you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because Professor Layton is, I think, it's a pretty innovative game, and there's a lot of things inside that, like all these little kind of mini games or puzzles that are really interesting and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the games that I'm definitely looking forward to for 3DS, among other ones that are out there, like Kid Icarus and Metal Gear Solid, and of course Mario Kart 3DS.
It's going to be the best launch title.
Yeah, from what I know, I'm not sure if Mario Kart 3DS will be a launch title or not, but either way, if it's out within the first 6 months of the release, I'll be happy either way.
Oh really? It's not it hasn't been announced as a launch title.
Not that I'm aware of right now. I think, from what I've heard, it's going to be released within the first like probably half a year, 6 to 12 months of the 3DS release. So,
oh, okay.
Probably, yeah, so we're gonna probably see it by the end of 2011. The other way, it's gonna look awesome when you bomb somebody with a blue shell in 3D.
Yeah, Mario Kart. I mean, Mario Kart is awesome. You put 3D, I mean, that'll be just over the top, man.
Yeah.
Because Mario Kart is probably one of the biggest spin-offs. Well, it's not a direct series, but you got my point. It's still pretty big.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the biggest racing franchises that is out there. Even people that are playing Mod Nation Racers are copying the characters in the cards from Mario Kart, which means that it's going to be big if it's affecting other games like this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess. Anything else on this, or?
I think we should move on to the next topic.
Yeah, let's go right ahead with the next topic, which is Kirby's Epic Yarn has finally been released just this past Sunday. And it's Kirby's first console appearance in 8 years since the GameCube, actually.
The GameCube version?
Kirby's Air Ride, I think, was on the GameCube. Like, back in the 03 or something like that.
I was thinking about Crystal Shards on the 64.
No, there was a GameCube one with a Kirby's Air Ride. I looked it up on just...
Yeah, there was a Kirby game for the GameCube. But it hasn't, I mean, Kirby, hasn't really made any appearances except for, I mean, it's made like sort of cameos in other games, mainly like Smash Brothers, right? So, but
yeah,
a standalone Kirby title has not been seen for a long while. So this is, I mean, it's, the game's got a lot to live up to. And, you know, it's really good to see that they finally have something, you know, have a full title coming out.
Yeah, there have been several DS titles for Kirby, but nothing on the home platform since the Cube days.
Yeah, you know, DS titles are kind of, I mean, with any developer, I think they'll tell you, with the exception of, like, some games, like Golden Sun or like, RPG games in general, DS games are kind of like mini games. They don't really take that long to develop, and they're not as... So, you know, with Kirby's Epic Yarn, it's, you know, it's a full game, it's a full console release, and, you know, it's something I think a lot of Kirby fans have been looking forward to.
Yeah. Or even if you're just an old-school platforming fan, this is an awesome game. I haven't picked it up myself, but from the reviews I've heard, it's a pretty good game. It's very solid. It sounds like it might be slightly on the easier side, but it's still a pretty solid game either way. Plus, the textures look freaking awesome. It looks like you're in a freaking textile shop just watching Kirby go right through.
Yeah, I mean, I think the controls will be really, I mean, really interesting to see because it's using the Wiimote. And I can only imagine, you know, the amount of time they put in for graphics, because every Wii game that's coming out now is actually better than what we've seen in earlier Wii games, and it's really really quite surprising given you know, what people say about the Wii being really underpowered and can't live up to you know, the Xbox or the PlayStation in processing power.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Some of the best titles I've seen, like, recently in the past 2 years or so have been, like, titles like Kirby, Super Mario Galaxies, which is looks amazing. It's vibrant, it's stunning. Like, even, it's in, just in 480p, it looks freaking amazing. There's, like, other third-party stuff that comes out of the blue, like Mirror Mask. It's, like, you don't expect it from, like, other publishers to get on board with great graphics on the Wii. Mirror Mask is like, it literally looks like one of those Japanese paintings put into motion. Like, although you may see a bit of a slight jaggies once in a while, but it looks freaking amazing.
Yeah, because people just expect the Wii to be like a kids console. They don't expect much out of it, so it's why it's assumed to be a bad system compared to what 360 or PS3 has. But quite frankly, the graphics aren't that much off from what they have, so Wii's just not getting enough credit for what it is.
I mean if you look at the whole debate between 720p and 1080p, there are, like, diehard fans out there that won't watch anything that's not 1080, and they'll just say that, like, oh, you know, 720p is just horrible, and they can't stand watching it. Personally, I've, you know, TVs that are 720, and even a projection that's 480i, and I can't really, I mean, the quality of picture is really... I don't really see that much of a difference. Yeah, it's really marginal, and you know, given that the Wii's on 480, it's really. I mean, if you look at it, I don't think people can tell if it's, you know, 480, 720, or even 1080, just by looking at the pictures or looking at the graphics. I think sometimes the software behind it is a lot more important than the hardware inside the console.
Yeah, this is why some games have kind of lacked, because people see graphic as more important than gameplay itself. I mean, I'm not gonna pick up a game because it looks good. It has to have some sort of style to it. Looks is just part of the game, but it's more or less the gameplay itself that makes or breaks the game.
Yeah,
graphics is just additions to it.
Yeah, it's because, like, even back in the Retro days, like, we, like, with a, even with a Super Mario Bros. 3, it's like, in today's standards, like, the graphics are crap, but looking back at the gameplay with those games, it's revolutionary, it's tight, it's what you, it's what games should be. Tight, great gameplay, graphics should be second place compared to the gameplay and all the other stuff, and the story, of course, if there is story to the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, look at possibly one of the best games to come out of N64, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. You can see the pixels. The graphics are decent, but, I mean, people are going to still pick up that game now because of how great it is and not because of its graphics. Mind the graphics are good, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, for an X, from that standpoint, it's good from that point, like, from for back then. But, like, the perspective is that graphics should be taking a back seat compared to everything else that's out there that adds to the game.
I don't know. It was more gameplay, less graphics then, but now it seems to be heading in the opposite direction, which really shouldn't be where games are going.
Yeah, I mean, I think graphics, differences in graphics are just really, really marginal, and it's not worth, you know, crying over. It's just not a big concern anymore. I think any game, if the developers put a decent amount of time into it, will look great regardless of what system it's on. And I really don't think graphics is too much of a consideration nowadays. It's kind of, I mean, reviews. I mean, they'll have, like, reviews for gameplay, story, sound, and then for graphics. I think graphics is really, I mean, it's a marginal difference. Like, if a reviewer rates graphics a 10 versus, like, an 8, I think most people really can't even tell the difference. So I really don't think it's as important as the other features, and I think as we move on, it'll get less and less important because we'll have better technology, better development, and everything. I mean, graphics will just be an afterthought in the future.
Yeah, because I've played two similar games from the same publisher, which is Tales of Vesperia on the 360 and PS3, and Tales of Symphonia 2 on the Wii, and it's a very similar art style that they have, like cel shaded. They both look great. Even though the Wii is under, quote unquote, underpowered compared to the two other consoles that are out there, they still look amazing, and like, it's all about the story and the gameplay as well, like, that we've talked about. I guess we've been on this topic for a while now, so we'll go to the next one, which is the Red 25th anniversary Wii and DSi XL is actually heading over to North America. And the DSi XL is bundled with a couple of pre-installed games and pre-packaged with a Mario Kart DS. And the Wii is packaged with a Red Wii Remote Plus and also Wii Sports and new Super Mario Bros. Wii. And they did not pack in a Wii Sports Resort with this bundle.
That's okay, because I'd rather have the other game than any other game than Wii Sports Resort, really. It's from just buying Wii Motion Plus, anyways.
Yeah. It's something that... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Do we have any idea on pricing here, or is it just an announcement here?
It's an announcement, plus it's a regular pricing for whatever they are in the regions, like $200 US for the Wii, and I think I can't remember what the US price for the DSi XL was, but it's like regular pricing for whatever the DSi XL is in the States. I think it's like $160 or something like that. $160 or $170 for the DSi XL in the States.
Well, personally, I wouldn't buy the DSi XL just because the 3DS is coming out, and even if it's collector's edition, you know, you're gonna buy it and you're probably not even gonna use it for more than a year, and then you're gonna upgrade to the 3DS. The Wii, on the other hand, is probably worth buying because I think the bundle is really good, depending on the price. If it's anywhere near what they're selling the Wii for now, or even the launch price at $269.99, that would be fantastic, and I think it's worthwhile. I mean, totally worthwhile.
Yeah, it's actually priced at $200 flat for the States, $210 for Canadian.
It's $210 for, okay, that's great. I mean, I'd actually buy that than the regular Wii, because Wii Sports Resort is like a mini game. It's not even a full game. And I know all of us have Wii Sports Resort already anyway, so it's not a big deal.
Well, not a whole bunch.
Oh, you don't have Resort?
No, I haven't actually upgraded any of my games for Wii in a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I'm not too keen on the Wii as I am on the PS2 and the DS.
Oh, okay. So it's just anyone that's basically that bought the Wii Motion Plus, they automatically, I mean, pretty much get the Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, basically it's like, you pretty much summed up what I was going to say anyways with the collector's edition. Unless you do not have a DS right now, there's really no point in getting the DSi XL special edition that's coming out in a couple weeks. But if you're looking into getting a second Wii for for your family, then the Red 25th anniversary Wii would be a good idea.
It might even be a good idea the difference and buy the Red one, because it's just, I think it's really good value at $210. That's fantastic. I mean, you get a full game, you get limited edition stuff, and I just think it's a better value overall.
Definitely worth it. I mean, given I don't exactly have a DS right now, I'm not even considering the XL just because of the whole 3DS coming out soon.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's buying any DS, or anyone that knows stuff about consoles or handhelds, I don't think anyone's buying a DS right now. It's just a really horrible time to buy one.
Yeah, unless you
you buy it used at a cheap price.
Really need to play a certain game, it isn't worthwhile getting that DS right now.
Probably going to see DS drop soon in price, so maybe it's not all too worth it.
The DSi and the XL just dropped in price like a month ago. Both of them dropped $20 each.
If you go to Shoppers Drug Mart, I was just there today and I saw it was on sale. The Wii and the DS, basically you buy it and then you get like points, like Shoppers Optimum points or whatever, and it rebates you, like you basically get about $85 if you buy the Wii. So like it's like, if you buy it at $210, it's basically getting the Wii for like a little bit over $100, which is like a really sweet deal.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think you know how Optimum points work, but whatever. It's a different
system. So Optimum points, you still have to spend $210. It's just you get Optimum points that you can spend on other things in the store, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you're still gonna buy stuff at Shoppers Drug Mart, right? Unless.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a fantastic deal, and they're not selling it for any more than what EB or any department store is selling it for.
Yeah.
Though I'll still never get why they chose to make that move, but it's probably just to make some more money.
I guess it's kind of wrapping up this topic for now. We'll move on to the next thing we have is Sony has actually dropped the cassette Walkmans. They stopped making them as of, I think, April of this year. They will still produce CD and like CD, MD, and the flash-based Walkmans, and yeah. Well, I think this is a good move because the cassette technology has been dead for really long. Like, nobody really uses it anymore.
The question is, why did they choose to stop it now but not sooner? Because the last time you've probably seen a cassette being used is probably 10 years ago, around the release of the CDs.
Well, I'd peg it around 5 years after MP3 players really picked up, that it really died off.
Wait, we're talking about CDs, right? I mean, about cassette players, right?
Yeah, cassette players have been dying off for, like, officially really died off maybe 5 years ago, and CDs are starting to really taper off now because of, like, digital downloads and MP3 players.
And also everybody's phone or, like, your laptop or whatever, they have, like, you have music playing abilities pretty much everywhere you go. So, I mean, there's really no point in carrying around, like, it's a rather large object, because, so, I mean, I don't really understand why they took so long to cancel it. Maybe there were a lot of people that bought it for, like, you know, collector's purposes or something. Or maybe they had a lot of cassettes from back in the day that they wanted to play, so I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. But it's like, everyone now, it's either already have it converted or are converting on the way to converting it all to, like, MP3 files already.
Yeah, I don't even know where you buy cassettes, like, blank cassettes right now.
I don't think it can be done. I mean, I've seen people use them, but probably not. I mean, the farthest back I can have seen around are, like, CDs. Not like they're bad things, but I could still see people buying CDs, but really, cassettes? Come on.
Yeah, the last time I've, like, even sold cassettes at a store was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And, like, those things, like, never sold. They sat there for months and months on end, literally months, before even one person even bought, like, a 3-pack of these cassette tapes.
Definitely. They don't sell. Should have been taken off a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess we agree that it shouldn't be continuous, since it's unprofitable for all the companies that are doing so, because it's pretty much a dead technology. I guess we'll move on to the next one. Is that The Hobbit has finally gone off the ground, and we'll start filming in February 2011, which is great because it's been sitting there for a while with a bit of trouble trying to get it going for quite a while.
Like a cool idea. Should work. Why not do it?
And yeah, they're thinking of, they're not sure if they're going to do it in filming. They don't know if they're going to do it in New Zealand like they did with The Lord of the Rings, but they do have the same director, which is Peter Jackson, is still directing this film.
Is it going to be a trilogy?
I don't think it's going to be a trilogy. It's just The Hobbit.
Because it's only one book.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, hopefully it'll... I actually don't understand why they did The Hobbit after Lord of the Rings, but... because The Hobbit is actually, the series of events happens before The Lord of the Rings, the three books, right?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, and I think it'll probably be just as popular as Lord of the Rings, because all the, you know, Lord of the Rings fans will just go and watch it, and that'll be, like, millions and millions of viewers.
Yeah, I think they did it this way because Lord of the Rings is definitely a more popular series than what The Hobbit was, because not too many people knew about The Hobbit before watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, okay. I guess I was just one of the rare few people that actually read The Hobbit before Lord of the Rings. But,
Assuming people even know about The Hobbit, but yeah, you got a good point. It should have been done before, because it did come before. But I guess it's just going to be watched for its name and connection to the Lord of the Rings series, so either way,
good or bad. Yeah, because there have been several franchises like Lord of the Rings and like Star Wars where the second half of the story was done before the first half.
Possibly. But I think The Hobbit was a short story. Like, it wasn't... Well, okay, it's not short, but, like, compared to any of the Lord of the Rings books, it's significantly shorter. So hopefully the movie will be... it'll have more detail and won't be subject to criticism from hardcore fans.
Yeah, because, like, there was the extended version of the movies, which ran up to, like, 3.5-4 hours each. Which had a bit
way
more...
Way too long.
Well, and the theatrical releases were around 3 hours, so it's, like, it's a marathon of a movie.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can release a movie in theaters that's, like, 4 hours, because, like... You can't, people can't, it's hard to sell, but, you know, at the same time, you can't put enough detail in, like, 2.5-3 hours, and then people will start complaining, so it's, I mean, you can never win, so hopefully with The Hobbit, because it's not as, the story isn't as long, I hope that they can, you know, maybe get a 2.5-hour movie in there and focus on some of the finer details.
Yeah, because like they did something similar with the last Harry Potter book. They broke it up into two different movies because it's like a mammoth of a book. There's like 700, 800 pages in that book.
Yeah, but the thing about that is that the second part is not going to come until like a year after the first one. And there was rumored that The Goblet of Fire, the fourth one, was supposed to be a two-part movie, but it only became one.
Yeah. It's all good, as long as they are willing to put the work into it to make it detailed, and even if it's split up, like, for some movies, it's all right that they split it up, but, like, for most, like, 99.9% of the movies out there, it's not worth splitting it up into part one and part two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most people will just see it as a way to make more money.
Yeah. So we'll move on to our next thing is that kind of tied in with the cassette Walkman thing better than the movie did is Samsung Galaxy Player is the newest contender to the iPod Touch. It's basically using the guts of the Samsung Galaxy S phone, which runs on Android, and putting it out there as a MP3 player, like a multimedia player with a which looks pretty neat. It looks like it has a AMOLED screen on there. And it has access to the Android market as well.
Do you have anything to say, John?
Not really. I don't know too much on the topic, so I can't say too much.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of Android. I think Android's the future. I think I've said this before, but yeah, Android's probably one of the best operating systems out there. So anything that uses Android, I'm a fan of. And seeing how this is probably one of the higher-end MP3 players, MP4 players or whatever, you know, it's definitely good to see, because it'll be able to fully utilize all the Android apps, because a lot of kind of phones or MP4 or I guess phones mainly that use Android that are from like previous generations, they can't use a lot of, they can't run a lot of the list. So this is probably a good way. And also it'll be cheaper than getting a phone, because phones are really expensive if you buy it without contract.
Yeah. With this price, it's going to be cheaper than the iPod Touches. Because, from what I've read, it's pr- priced around 200 like euros right now, so
it's probably going to be 200 euros. It would be around the same price.
Yeah.
Possibly even more, but it might lower. I mean, the price might lower once it gets to the States. It's a the question is how much tax is Canada going to charge on it? So
yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm guessing it's going to hover around the 180 to 200 $10 mark for once it does come over here.
Yeah, hopefully. Because they, like, Europe's been known to have stuff. Like, they have, I think, for a period of time, their games and stuff were selling for the same price that, like, what we're paying for, except it's in euros, so they were getting, like, ripped off big time. So hopefully it's the same thing for, I mean, the price will come down.
Yeah, that's what I was also about to say. 200 euros may seem like much, but Europe tends to be a little bit overpriced, so probably going to expect a drop. Because I've seen, so remember when I was over there this summer, I saw the regular DS Lite was 150 euros. So compare that to DS Now, you're looking at quite a bit of a difference.
Yeah, it's pretty much wrapped up, I guess. Actually, there's one other thing that's kind of neat is Windows 7 actually reaches its one-year release mark, and they're no longer pre-installing Windows XP on any PCs now. So officially, it's all Vista and Windows 7 now. Like, if you're going to get a PC now, it's going to be all Vista and Windows 7 pre-installed.
So, well, have you guys used Windows 7?
I'm currently using Windows 7. It's a lot better experience than what I had with Vista.
Oh, okay. What about you, John?
I'm still on Vista.
Yeah. But I'm on Vista, too. Go ahead.
It's about to crap out on me, so I might be heading to 7 soon.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I really don't know the difference, but...
Oh, did we lose him?
Yeah, he's still here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just lagging all I had, I think. But, yeah, I'm still here.
No, well, regardless, I think everything's installed Windows 7 now. I hope they don't use Vista on any new computers. I mean, it's just a lot of compatibility issues.
Yeah, because a lot of the newer the netbooks are using Windows 7 Starter.
Okay, but I mean, hopefully they'll get like a Windows 7 or possibly a Windows 7 Lite version on those computers. But
yeah,
I mean, there's like Windows 7. I'm not using it currently, but I have used it before. Like, it's on one of my laptops, and there are significant using it over Vista. The only reason why I'm using Vista right now is because I have Vista Ultimate, so there's some features on there that I need to use.
Yeah, like the main reason why I didn't switch over from XP to Vista back in like 4 years ago is it was crap. Like, I had a couple of friends that were using it and it was crapping out on them, so they migrated back to XP. And I've tried using it and it hasn't been too great of an experience, so I stuck with Mac OS X 10.4 until recently.
Well, I mean, it should be okay regardless. Windows XP, even though it's not going to be preloaded on PCs, XP users will still get updates. So they should be fine for the next few years. But beyond that, I mean, there will come a point in time when Microsoft is going to...
Yeah,
you're going to have some issues with newer software.
Yeah, actually, I think they've pulled the plug on XP already recently, too. Like, with
really?
Software updates.
Not even updates? Okay, wow.
I know they pulled the plug on service packs, but they still have like updates. I mean, at least they'll update so that you can run the latest software. But I guess if they did that right now, XP users are pretty much forced to upgrade within the next year. If they plan on getting anything new, there are going to be compatibility issues, especially with video games. Like, I know, like, any kind of RPG or RTS, if you don't, there are issues with XP if you don't upgrade.
Yeah. I guess that's pretty much it for what we have in the show notes. Do you guys have any other things that you guys want to bring up?
Here.
MacBook Air just got announced, I think a couple days ago, and it has this 11 and 13 inch model that run up to I think 7 hours on battery, and also they made a Mac OS X 10.7 announcement, and it'll be available for summer 2011.
Yeah, totally cool. But I think we all agreed that it's kind of one of those laptops that's unnecessary. That's kind of, you know, you'll buy if you already have a really nice laptop and you just kind of get because it's really cool looking and stuff. But there's really no practical use for the Air, given the cost and everything. So
yeah.
I mean, versus a MacBook Pro, that is, you get better computer for a lower price, and the only thing is it weighs more and it's larger, I guess. But it is really cool to see, like, you know, them put so much stuff into something so thin.
Yeah, and there's going to be an app store for the Mac OS X as well that's coming out, I think, with the Lion OS X.
Yeah, I think I read about that. Like, if you update iTunes, I updated recently, and I was reading up on that. They're gonna get like a new app system and everything.
Yep, there you go. Isn't there this look of iTunes? The setup looks worse.
Sorry?
You just said you updated your iTunes recently, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of the layout versus the old layout, though?
Oh, I think, I don't know, I think it,
it's pretty similar.
I just updated it for software purposes. I think it's alright. I think it's easier to use, but I don't know.
I'm using both the older version of iTunes on my iMac. It's iTunes 9. And it's fine. And I have iTunes 10 on my Windows 7 laptop, and they're both pretty much the same to me. Both easy to use.
I don't know.
They don't feel the same way? You have issues with the new iTunes?
Yeah, it's just like the whole new set for Facebook. I'm just...
You're not used to it, eh?
Yeah.
It's actually not too bad. Like, between the two versions that are currently out there, like iTunes 9 and version 10, it's pretty similar, and it's not actually not that big of a difference.
I don't know. I didn't use.
I don't know. For some reason,
I started using the new one.
When I updated my iTunes a few times, for some reason it deleted all my content on my iTunes.
Oh, snap.
Which was stupid.
Oh, okay. That's really annoying. I mean, especially paid stuff there.
Luckily, I keep my stuff in all in one folder so I can just add it back on, but seriously. Something deleted on my. Just like the time my PS2 memory card randomly got wiped.
Wow, that must be really annoying.
Talk about it. That was nearly, that PS2 card was nearly like 6-7 years old of data. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, oh my god.
6-7 years.
Definitely sucks, of course.
Yeah. Well, did you have any...
Yeah, you got cut off there, Harley.
Oh, sorry, John, did you have any, like, purchased items, like purchased apps or anything?
On my, what?
iTunes?
Nah.
Okay, so at least you didn't lose, like, a significant amount of money. Because I know some people that have hundreds of dollars of stuff on their iTunes that, you know.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Oh, no. You're talking about iTunes Store and all the money and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, is there anything else you guys are gonna want to bring up?
No, I think that's it.
Oh, still. Oh.
Guess,
Nah, I'm done.
Yeah, I guess this is the end of our podcast this week. We'll see you guys in about a week or two.
Peace.
Later.
Later. Pet Star, you Magic Harp, Nine Tails, Ekans, Oma Star, Scyther, Tentacle, Dragonair, Magma. Whoa, catch your breath, man. Shake out those lips. It's downhill from here. Just 24 more to go. Now it gets tricky, so listen real good. Sandslash, Hitmonlee, Psyduck, Arcanine, Eevee, Executor, Kabutop, Septo, Fatini. Look, do you have the whole Pokérap? Graveler, Voltorb, Boom. We're almost home. Gotta catch them all. Yeah, this is the whole thing.
Mewtwo, Tentacruel, Aerodactyl, Aerodactyl, Ammonite, Slowpoke, Pidgeot, Arbok, that's